I'll try to do better with my glasses on. Okay, here it comes. Good morning, everyone. My name is Kathy Sternas, and this is my colleague, Dr. Marianne Sharp, and we worked together for many, many years on a fabulous project that we're going to share with you today that has cultural information in it, also cultural competency. The next slide, Marianne.
Okay.
You're going to have to.
Yeah.
We were asked to present something on our presenter disclosures, and we have no relationships to disclose to you, so we've loaded that. The purposes, next slide. It's helpful to load it all at once. Thank you. The purposes of our presentation are actually to describe a collaborative model for community assessment and intervention, which promotes public health without borders, includes an application of internet technology, it also includes information on promoting cultural competence, and has demonstrated positive outcomes not only for high-risk populations, but for agency partners, community members, and, of course, students. And the second part of one of our objectives was to identify ways to use the internet technology for doing community assessment intervention projects to meet the needs and promote health among high-risk populations. What I want to briefly do, next slide, please, is just show you the agencies, I'm not going to read them all, that we are very much connected with. And this grant that I'm going to mention in a minute has ended, but we have a sustainable project. We've kept it up beyond 3 or 4 years with no funds. So we keep using these same agencies, and we've actually expanded to others that aren't in this data set to include wealthier populations, not just the poor, the town of Elizabeth, some other different towns. Next slide, please. The project was originally funded by the Lean Fold Health Trust Curriculum and Faculty Development and Community Health Care Grant. And then at Seton Hall University, we have an Institute for Service Learning, which later became the Center for Community Research and Engagement, the SHELLS program. And I go to them for just a little bit of play money to give the students to buy food when the students do presentations or something of that nature. And they continue to give us our little play money. I call it play money because it's not big bucks. I now will turn this over to Marianne, my colleague, who will talk about the communities selected for our projects.
Let me get them up on the board here.
Okay. We selected three towns that are immediately adjacent to the Seton Hall campus in South Orange. And these towns are populations that are high in high-risk groups. And we see that among the problems of the inner-city communities, they experience high rates of obesity, poor nutrition, asthma, lead poisoning, the problems of drugs, alcohol, tobacco use, communicable diseases such as HIV and AIDS, and also low immunization rates and high participation in violence, gangs, among the teenagers especially, and also homelessness. Okay, in the literature review, we find that there's documentation that collaboration between universities and community-based agencies can help with problems of high rates of asthma, heart disease, cancer, AIDS, and other problems that are common in high-risk populations, and also that the internet is a valuable strategy to promote learning in high-risk populations and also for our students. Now, some of the problems that we see in these three towns, Newark, Irvington, and East Orange, are high rates of TB and asthma, high rates of HIV, AIDS in Essex County, and also STDs, teen pregnancy, infant death rates, high rates of lead poisoning, cancer, heart disease, obesity, and the use of drugs, alcohol, tobacco, gangs, and so forth. Some of the statistics, I'm not going to read all of these. Essex County has the highest number of TB cases in the state of New Jersey. We also see that there are high rates of asthma. In fact, twice as many Hispanics and three times as many blacks are hospitalized for asthma compared to white populations. HIV/AIDS is pretty big in New Jersey. especially in the epicenter of Newark. New Jersey ranks fifth in the nation for the number of HIV/AIDS cases, Essex County having the highest number of HIV/AIDS in the state of New Jersey. The prevalence rates, if you look at these three towns, Newark, East Orange, and Irvington, 95% of all HIV/AIDS cases are found in these three towns. There are only three towns in the whole county, but they have most of the cases. If we also look at STDs, we see a similar picture, that Essex County does have the highest rates of STDs in the states and in the state of New Jersey. And these three towns, Newark, East Orange, and Irvington, have about 90% of all the gonorrhea cases in Essex County and 85% of all the chlamydia and syphilis in Essex County. We also see high rates of teen pregnancy. Essex County had the highest number of births to teens under the age of 15, and also the highest fetal mortality rates. And our black fetal mortality rates are twice that of other populations. Infant mortality rates, we see that Essex County had the lowest percentage of women seeking prenatal care in the first trimester. And also that we have the highest, one of five counties in New Jersey with the highest rates of low birth weight babies. Environmentally, we have about a third of all the cases of lead poisoning in the state are in Essex County. If you look at cancer deaths, I just pulled out a few of these. And you see that blacks had higher cancer death rates than whites and Hispanics for colon, lung, breast, and prostate. In Essex County, obesity is a major health problem for both children and adults. In terms of drug use, the major mechanism of transmission for HIV/AIDS in Essex County is through IV drug use, and so we have a lot of IV drug use in Essex County, especially centered around Newark. So the problems of smoking, alcohol, drug use begins in our youth, 12 and under, 12 and older. This is alcohol statistics. Alcohol use is highest among whites and Hispanics, lowest among Asians and blacks. Okay, I know.
Okay, now I just want to let you know that in the aisles are a series of handouts, and I'll be referring to them. Actually, there are some titles of projects that we've done with the students, the agency partners, and there's a little article about the grant and some of the objectives. And then right now, I'm just going to pass around some pictures. You can keep the things in the audience, but I ask if somebody can share these, if you turn those to me, but they're things I'll be referring to. A little bit about the methods. We actually did a study. We wanted to measure outcomes. So we did descriptive research, and what we're reporting on is 169 traditional and 162 second degree, which are accelerated students, who are community health nursing students, and then 98 agency partners. Now, the model that I'm going to describe focuses on students, partners, and faculty collaborating to assess the needs of the community members, to plan, implement, and evaluate interventions. So there's actually an evaluation component to see if we've made a difference. Now, the agency partners know best what their community members' needs are. So we go to them, and they develop a list of topics or projects they like the students to work on. And I present them in class, or Marianne presents them in class. For example, pediatric students may choose a project at a daycare center working with kids. So it's something the students are interested in, but we do work closely with the partners to identify the different projects. Now, students also learn how to apply internet technology in their community assessment and intervention projects. And usually two or four students work together on the project. So it is a group endeavor. But they receive mentoring from faculty, myself, Dr. Sharp, whoever else is teaching, and also their agency partners. Now, in terms of the methods, we do complete outcome evaluations. And I'd just like you to focus on the variables, particularly pay attention to, we do measure cultural awareness, because we're in the cultural session here. But we look at competence in community assessment and implementing interventions.
internet abilities, the cultural awareness and sensitivity? Do they collaborate with diverse professionals and diverse cultures? Leadership, interest in community nursing, the usefulness of the project findings for the community agencies, and the benefits to the partners as well as to the community members and the students. And what I'm reporting on here is just not from the evaluation, written little evaluation form we use, but also we've done interviews with partners and community members and student focus groups. The next, just to give you an overall broad view, we've taken five traditional public health areas, student select projects that relate to maternal child health, prevention of communicable diseases, environmental health, mental health, or prevention of chronic diseases. So they're the types of things. Now, I just want to say a little bit more about this collaborative process partnership model, because it does work, what we've found, anywhere so far that we've ever used it with. So it's a good thing, and you can probably implement it at your sites. You collaborate with the agency partners, community members, and faculty, and it's the whole process of assessing, implementing, and evaluating. And what we found is that when the students do the assessment of their town and the subpopulation, they develop their intervention based on that assessment. So there is evidence that there is a problem before they create this particular intervention, or there is a need. Now, we have guidelines for the community assessment intervention projects. Students get them in class, and so do the agency partners. So they know exactly what the objectives are for the students and what's how to guide the students. Now, we also give a copy of the student's paper, the community assessment intervention paper, to the agency partners. And that's very useful for them because there's a lot of statistics in there they use to write their grants. They also use it for developing programs for their populations, to educate staff for staff sessions for education, and grant writing. And we've actually, some of them have gotten grants based on the work of the students, and Dr. Sharp and I are actually involved in some projects as a result of our collaboration. So there's a win-win for us, too, because we get involved in other interesting things. Faculty meet or call agency partners for evaluation. When we first started the project, we actually met with them face-to-face, but now we just pick up the telephone and see how everything's going, or they'll let us. They'll say, Dr. Sternas, we haven't seen your students. Where are they? You know, sometimes there's students who may slack off a little bit, so the partners let us know, that kind of thing. But that's not the usual case. Usually they're there and more times than whatever. What I want to say to you, that a very important part of our model is that we have a recognition ceremony and a reception in which every student group stands up and presents what they did so everybody can hear. And we invite not only the students, but the clinical faculty, all the agency partners, and our faculty and our dean. And we provide food, so we have a little, and we also share. So if somebody's created posters or they've created brochures, we share these with other agencies. And this is a chance to come together and to thank people. And what you see now through the pictures that are going around are some pictures of the project, students presenting, and the certificates. We award everyone, including faculty, mentors, and the students, a certificate. And the secretaries at Seton Hall are wonderful. They just, like, type them all off for us every semester. They know what they need to do. And they make programs. And there's some different examples of programs that list, you know, the name of the students and the project. And so you can see. So people get recognition. And, you know, you're welcome to think about some of those things. Now, I want to say that students and partners practice where public health needs exist. And they promote health. So the bottom line is there is no really borders. I mean, if there's a project or somebody may call up and say, I need a group of students, and we go wherever it is. Now, the model we have found works very well with different ethnic groups, income levels. What we're presenting on now here is largely the poorer communities, but we have actually used this in upper middle class and upper middle class communities. We've worked with elderly, chronically ill, the mentally ill, the homeless, substance abuse, poor populations, different organizations, too. So we've been in schools, daycare centers, hospitals, health departments, home care agencies, and mother-baby organizations, and plus other places, too. So it's like a model that works wherever you are. So if anybody has an interest, use of the internet. Students use the internet not only for identifying and learning more about the community needs and problems, but to obtain statistics on their towns. Okay, and they say, oh, my God, I didn't know this was such a big issue. Or, oh, my God. You know, so it opens up their world. They also do research on evidence-based interventions. So, okay, what's out there to say this is an intervention that's going to work with this particular population? And internet technology, of course, is used to create brochures, posters, and health games. Now, Dr. Scharf is going to talk a little bit about some of the different kinds of exciting interventions the students have been involved in, and I'll turn it over to her.
Well, as you were talking, I just happened to remember that last week we did get a call from the LED group in Newark, and they asked for some of our students. I said, it's a little short notice, but by gum, we had a group of students that went out for a lead screening program. So our name is getting out in the community there. Some of our students were trained to use the Some of our students were trained to use the Open Airways program of the American Lung Association, so they actually went to elementary schools and helped to teach the students how to deal with their asthma. Another group helped parents and counselors of a camp learn to deal with students with asthma. Another group, one of my group of students did a Jeopardy game with senior citizens and about how to take care of heart disease. There was an internet resources are used to create health information binder on HIV/AIDS for an AIDS art museum project. This was a traveling exhibition. There was also an interesting one from the Irvington General Hospital, which had to do with sexually transmitted diseases. One of the cultural lessons there is the students discovered that not everybody in the town of Irvington owns a car, so they travel a lot by public transportation. So when they developed this brochure telling about the free clinic, they included information about the different bus routes so that people could get there. And we found that the clinic attendance did double as a result of their efforts. Some other examples, we had a group of students that did, several groups have done different kinds of hand washing in elementary, preschool, middle school children, and also, and also they've done nutrition education. They've done teen pregnancy in East Orange, in encouraging breastfeeding and no smoking or drinking during pregnancy. A lot of nutrition programs. So we've been doing this for a while. We found that, internet resources were used to create educational materials for the healthy eating, to reduce obesity, and to promote breastfeeding, good hygiene, immunization, self-empowerment. These are some of our findings.
Yes, so now what I'm going to do is talk a little bit about each semester we do an evaluation tool. So we summarize each semester's group. So I'm going to present individual class data. But now we're in the process of combining it all, looking over time at larger sample sizes. So this is a sample of 31 traditional students and 22 accelerated second degree students that were in class. And in response to some of the questions, we found 100% of both groups reported increased confidence in assessing and planning community interventions. Over 96% of the traditional and 100% of the accelerated reported improved internet ability. Both groups agreed that their projects promoted cultural awareness and sensitivity. They gained a lot. A lot of them had never had many experiences. Some of them come from upper class families and they did not work with the poor. So this was a whole experience for them. I won't go through every one of these things, and Dr. Scharf will just summarize a couple in the community so we can actually allow the next presenter. But you can see it's really highly positive. The next page, I want to just say, one of our goals was to help get students interested in community health nursing, and we found that the traditional students, about 77% of them said, hey, I would like to work in the community, but the accelerated students were there. My next job, I'm working in the community. The traditional students want to take their first job in the hospital. That's you know, the blood and guts and all that kind of stuff. We're working on that. In a second sample, we also found high internet ability, but I just want to go, Marianne, to this slide that talks about all the positive things, if you can just. Okay. Students gain lots of levels of learning from this. Expertise in caring for high-risk populations, applying critical thinking and problem-solving in their interventions. You don't have money to buy things, so you have to do creative things with respect to no money. Increased expertise in using the internet, evaluating the effectiveness of their interventions and seeing that they make a difference. I mean, this is like evidence-based kind of issues. They gain knowledge about community resources, gaps in services, and all that other good stuff. Marianne, we'll just make a couple comments about the community. Move on to the next one.
I know, I'm just trying to get there.
And just the first slide is sufficient.
Okay. This is just one subset. 100% of the traditional and accelerated programs agreed that the interventions planned and implemented were realistic and appropriate to the needs of the target community. Findings from the projects were useful to the agency in program planning, preparing reports, or writing grants, and that the students and faculty were helpful to the agency in planning and implementing ways to improve health services. Also, we found that the agency partners said that the interventions were helpful in meeting needs within the community. The students worked collaboratively with the agency staff, other health professionals, and community members, and that the students demonstrated cultural competence in planning, implementing, evaluating evaluations, and that affiliation with the College of Nursing provided opportunities for collaboration with the faculty. One last, 100% of the agency partners agreed that they and their staff encouraged students to consider a career in community health.
Let's move on.
And that's yours.
In terms of conclusions, because of time, the collaborative model of community assessment and intervention that uses internet technology does help meet needs of high-risk populations. It does result in positive outcomes for agency partners, their community members, and the students, and faculty, too. And implications include educating nurses and other healthcare professionals. The social workers are involved. We actually do work with other disciplines in these projects, so that's important. About the usefulness of this model and ways to use internet technology to promote health to meet the needs of high-risk populations. And we thank you very much, and we'll entertain questions after the third presenter. Thank you.